Hi, I'm James.
And I'm Rhea.
And this is Ether and Ichor, a podcast about the stories behind stories in folklore, fairy tales, mythology, and the gothic. This week, we're talking about tricksters.
Yay!
So, as soon as we said we're doing mythology, I immediately said we have to do a trickster episode, because those are my guys.
That's your whole jam.
I love a trickster. So, when coming up with the outline for this, I considered going sort of by individual tricksters.
But we would be here for 3 years.
Yeah, and then it was sort of like, you know, instead of that, we'll just sort of cover the main areas that tricksters kind of, what they have in common, the similarities, like the overlaps, and, you know, mention specific ones within that.
Yeah, it's so wild that there's just like a category of guy, and every culture has this guy.
That fucking guy.
That really is the trickster energy. Like, yeah. Every time I do anything, you can just hear the rest of the pantheon like, ugh, this fucking guy.
Fucking guy. Yeah, so basic definition of a trickster. They're deities or spirits, more often spirits than an outright god or goddess, but there are some that, you know, are part of pantheons. You even get folk heroes or just a general folkloric figure. And as we said, they appear in pretty much every culture.
Yes, this is not even going to be a comprehensive list of tricksters, because we don't have that kind of time.
No.
There are so many.
Yeah, and I love them all.
They are all my friends.
Yes. So broad strokes, trickster is this figure who uses cunning and intellect or some kind of secret knowledge, and they outwit others by playing tricks on them, hence trickster, or just generally defying the norm or the conventions that are in place in whatever society they're in. They're boundary crossers, both in, you know, the polite society sense of the word, and physical spaces. They exist in this kind of liminal space. They have moral ambiguity.
The best sentence we have ever read on Wikipedia in our whole entire lives. I don't know if it's still there. Is it still there?
I believe so, okay. Yeah.
Is on Hermes' Wikipedia page, where it says that Hermes is amoral, like a baby. And we go, yeah, sure. Everyone knows babies are amoral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the citation, I believe, goes to some kind of Jungian thing. But just,
I forgot that was cited.
Oh, it's cited, yeah. He's amoral, like a baby. Footnote.
Because Wikipedia runs on citations, as you know.
Yeah, it's funnier that there's an actual citation than it's saying amoral like a baby citation needed. Like,
yeah.
To me, it's funnier that there is a citation.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they basically question things, they mock things, they disrupt authority to bring about changes in the world.
They're punk as hell, and we love them for
They are, and I realized when I was writing this outline that, like, bards do that in D&D. And I was like, oh, that's why I love a bard. They're tricksters.
Many, many bards I have seen would be categorized as folk hero type tricksters,
yeah.
I think.
But yeah, they can be really creative, they can be inventive, they can be seductive. Basically, they're here to fuck around and find out. And yeah.
And that's great.
It is. We will start with category of trickster, which is the animal spirit. There was a post going around on Tumblr recently that was basically talking about this, how every culture basically has a funny doggy.
Funny doggy.
The funny doggy. In Eurasia, you have the fox. You have jackals and hyenas in Africa. You have coyote in America. The Americas. Yeah, I was, and looking at that, I was wondering whether, like, in Australasia, you would get dingo as the funny doggy.
It would make sense.
Yeah, so I looked it up, and there's not a lot about it, because, you know, Aboriginal mythology is its own thing, and that's not my place, you know?
Yeah, this will probably come up a few times this season, but there are mythologies that are not really meant for outsiders to know about.
Yeah.
And broadly speaking, Aboriginal mythology is not intended to be accessible to people outside the culture. So you do get information out there about the dreaming specific, or dream time.
Yeah.
But a lot of the more specific things and a lot of the more personal stories and are just not written down because they're not meant for other people to access. And that's completely fine. And we totally respect that. It's not our culture and it's not our story to know.
Yeah, and they're also not written down because Aboriginal culture has the oldest ongoing oral tradition.
Yes.
Like, that is a intensely preserved oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
What I could find out was that Dingo has a really important role in the dreaming, but he has more of like a creator, messenger type role, which you do see come up in tricksters, but he doesn't mm-hmm. have the other facets of a trickster.
Right.
But yeah, it was interesting to look at.
Because you would think, like, if everyone has the funny doggy,
mm-hmm.
then wouldn't the dingo be the funny doggy?
He's a slightly more serious. He's
slightly more serious doggy.
He's a serious goose instead of a silly goose.
Yes.
Foxes in Europe and Asia, you have the most well-known, I would say, in Europe is Renard the Fox.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that the French word for fox changed to Renard based on the Renard stories.
Oh, what was it before?
It was from the Latin word. It was the old French word for fox was goupille from Vulpecula.
I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I like Renard better.
Renard just became like the word for fox.
That's so cool.
Like if you were seeing, I don't know, like if you saw a mouse and were like, it's a Mickey. You know, Jerry is here.
Somehow I think it's funnier to say Jerry.
Yeah. So yeah, Renard, he has other animal companions, but he's the trickster in these stories. Mm-hmm. You get like Dutch, French, German, and English variations of this.
Mm-hmm.
He's most often outwitting his cousin the wolf, Isengrim.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Slavic fox, Kumalisa. She was like a kind of folkloric figure. You get Kumalisa in like Macedonian, Bulgarian, Ukrainian folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And she also has like a wolf figure that she's playing tricks on and kind of outwitting.
I love women's wrongs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we like a female trickster.
Yeah.
Speaking of, kitsune in Japan mm-hmm. are most often women. They take the form of women. But yeah, that's the fox. They mm-hmm. have like a different number of tails depending on how old they are. It's where nine tails.
Yes, I was going to say it's not as commonly misconceived. Only nine tails.
Yes. Nine is like the best. Like that's the most wise of a kitsune.
Yeah, because that's because when you evolve your Vulpix, it becomes mm-hmm. a nine tails, and then it is the best that it can be.
Mm-hmm. The very best, like no one ever was.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's in the song, so you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. There is a sort of trickstery figure called Buki, the hyena, in Africa.
That's a good name.
Yeah, he's in I believe Ghana, sort of West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have coyote in North America
mm-hmm.
and in some Mesoamerican indigenous culture as well.
Mm-hmm.
Coyote has some fun stories. Again, don't know how much we should know about them, but we do know about some of them. Coyote can, like the dingo, have like that creator role.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes he is used as a stand-in when you're talking about creation and like...
Because you're not supposed because you're to not actually supposed talk, to talk about...
Yeah, you're not supposed to talk about the actual higher being.
Right. So you like, use coyote.
So you use coyote, yeah. Kind of in a Metatron Christian god kind of thing. Like Metatron is like the angel that speaks for
mm-hmm.
God in...
Like the mouth of Sauron.
Like the mouth of Sauron.
Just to make it a little more accessible.
Yeah. I'm just thinking in other mythologies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's one that people might know. But yeah, there's some really fun stories about coyote. There's a story where there's a giant terrorizing the land mm-hmm. And going around eating people, eating small children.
As giants do.
Mm-hmm. And the coyote convinces the giant that if he lets coyote break his leg, he can heal it when he spits on it and allow him to run as fast as the coyote does.
Mm-hmm.
And the giant agrees, but then obviously this was a trick. And then afterwards, he's a lot slower because he had a broken leg and he can't outrun anything, even small children.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, coyote.
Yeah, that was real cool.
Yeah. Genuinely... I don't know whether I find it insulting that Wile E. Coyote is just so bad at his job. Like, Wile E. Coyote as a name is great.
It's a great name.
But, like, he shouldn't be being outsmarted. He should be the smart one.
Yeah. That's interesting because Roadrunner is the trickster there.
Yeah.
But you don't get too many bird tricksters, do you?
Raven.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get there. But Roadrunner is definitely not.
No, Roadrunners are not. Yeah. But Looney Tunes does have another accurate trickster.
This is very true.
Yeah, another story has in the creator role, Coyote and the other animals are all like pitching their models for humans, and like they create people out of clay, and they're arguing over like what aspects these people should have. The coyote thinks that they should have his cunning and his intellect. The other animals, you know, favor other aspects like their strength or their speed, or, you know, like more physical traits than intellectual. And so during the night, he gets up and destroys all of the other animals' creations so that his humans are the only ones left.
I've known toddlers like that.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, this is the only design we've got, guys, so we have to go with mine. You also get in Africa, you get the jackal.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows up in some South Asian stories. You get the jackal in several stories of the Panchatantra, which is a collection of Hindu tales. That collection also has a trickster cat in some of the stories, which you don't often get a cat.
But yeah,
he does show up in some like Italian folklore collections.
I was going to say Italian folklore has a lot of trickster cats.
Yeah, which is like where Puss in Boots kind of has his origins.
He's just a little guy.
He's just a little guy.
He's so little. He's too little and he's too small.
I love Pip.
He's a criminal, but he's just a little kitty cat.
He's just a little kitty cat.
Like, he does atrocities, but he's a little kitty cat.
Like, what are you going to do? Put him in jail?
He's a little kitty cat. He's just a little kitty cat.
Next animal, away from the funny doggy that we find, is the hare or the rabbit. This one shows up more, I would say, in Africa.
Yes.
So you have Kalulu in Tumbuka mythology, which you find in like Zambia, Malawi, Tanzania. There's a story in that one. He's like an older hare. And the lion decides, as the ruler, that he thinks that all of the old and sickly animals should be put to death to save food for the younger and stronger animals. So Kalulu, the rabbit or hare, hides in a cave to avoid being killed himself. And at some point later on, a snake crawls into the lion's throat and refuses to leave. So Kalulu sees an opportunity, as tricksters often do, and he says, okay, I will come to your aid. And he gets a mouse and lures the snake out. And as a reward, the lion asks what he would like. And he says he just requests that the elderly and infirm animals be spared.
Tricksters are just doing such nice things.
Yeah, I mean,
like in the, I mean, not always.
Not always.
But it's just interesting how often it's like a good thing that they have done. And they've just done it in like the funniest way possible. Yeah.
It's chaotic good.
Yeah.
Chaotic good or chaotic neutral. Like, I don't think you really get chaotic evil tricksters.
I don't think so. I think that's a misconception.
Yeah, like neutral at worst. Like, yeah. Where they're just doing something selfishly.
I think the closest we would get would be some of the things Loki does are genuinely cruel.
Yeah.
But even then, like, it feels wrong to say that he's actually malicious, because he's not.
No.
It's just sometimes he does really mean things because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
But then sometimes he also does really cool things, so, you know.
Yeah. In the Ashanti culture, you have a hare called a Danko. You also have Liuk in Senegal. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing any of these. Liuk has a rivalry with Boogie the Hyena. And Buki's always trying to, like, it's a fun kind of trickster v trickster vibe.
Yeah.
But, like, Buki's not as smart as Liuk is. And he's constantly trying to play tricks on him, but Liuk usually outsmarts him. There's a story about Buki, like, wakes up one day and he sees Liuk still asleep, and he's like, I'm going to play a really good trick on him today. I need to think about it. So he goes down to the river for a drink, and he's like, what kind of cool trick can I play today? And he's having a drink at the river, and he sees the reflection of the sun in the river. And he goes, oh, I'll tell him there's a fire. So he runs back over to the tree, like, really excited that he has such a good trick planned. And he's like, oh, look, the bush is on fire. It's on fire. Run. And Luke wakes up, and he's like, I don't know. This could be one of your tricks again. And he's like, no, really? Can't you smell the smoke? And there is, like, that does just happen to be kind of a smoky smell.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Buki's really lazy usually. And he seems out of breath. So he's obviously running for something. Okay, I believe this. There's a fire. So he darts off running around to go and alert all the other animals. Everyone, like, it starts getting passed on, this big chain of run, run, there's a fire, there's a fire. Chaos everywhere. All the animals running. And Buki just is like, excellent, I'm going to take a nap. And just lies back down under his tree. And eventually looks like running about and alerting everybody. And then he eventually sees Buki asleep under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes that, like, they've just kind of gone full circle, like, around the watering hole.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I'm going to go and hide in my burrow and see what happens. And all the other animals run past and wake Buki up. And, like, he's, like, startled by them. He's like, what the fuck's going on? Apparently, he just has a really short memory. He's like, oh, Jesus, what's happening? They're like, you don't know? You must be the last animal to know. There's a fire. You need to get out of here. And he's like, oh, shit. And runs off with the rest of the animals. And Leo just is like, serves him right. And goes and takes his spot under the tree to have a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they just, most of their tricks are fighting over a nap spot, I guess.
That's relatable.
Mm-hmm. At least in this story, it is.
Lying down's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As another famous trickster once said.
There's a children's book called Zomo the Rabbit, which mm-hmm. is based on a Nigerian folktale, which sort of explains why rabbit can run so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Hares and rabbits are sacred to Hermes,
mm-hmm.
who's the Greek pantheon's trickster. They're associated with the Shi in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not quite a trickster, but like that kind of fae thing, like, kind of has some overlap.
Yeah.
With tricksters. Like, you don't mess with a hare in Ireland.
No.
Like, you don't, because that's gonna get the attention of the fair folk, and mm-hmm. you don't want that.
No.
You do find some rabbits in North America. It's interesting. There are some kind of that seem to be indigenous. So you yes. have, like, Nanobozo in Algonquin
mm-hmm.
mythology. But it's kind of all over Eastern North America and, like, into Canada. He has kind of that creative vibe. He was sort of sent by, again, forgive me if I mispronounce things, Gitche Manitou, to teach the people. And his first task was to name all of the plants and animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other kind of rabbit stories that you get in North America have come over from West Africa
mm-hmm.
with the slave trade.
Yes.
Brer rabbit stories. Obviously, like, you also get the Buki and Lupin mm-hmm. stories, kind of where Brer rabbit comes from.
Yes. And we know them as Brer rabbit because they were collected by a white guy, which, you know, a lot of the stories that we know are because they were collected by somebody who shouldn't have been having them in the first place.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's just worth mentioning that we call him Brer Rabbit, but he is one of these African tricksters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brer Rabbit's just the name he has in America.
Yeah. Interestingly, though, like, some of his stories do overlap with indigenous myths. So, like, mm-hmm. With Cherokee and Algonquin myths, there is a tar wolf story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the tar baby story, which mm-hmm. is what the Brer Rabbit one is. There are also African ones
yeah.
that are very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you can kind of see where it got picked up.
Yeah.
Like, why it kind of stuck around, because it syncretism.
Yeah, I also mm-hmm. wonder how much contact Indigenous Americans and mm-hmm. West Africans had before slavery was a thing.
Yeah.
That's entirely possible that mm-hmm. these stories got passed back and forth. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're showing up on both sides of the ocean.
Yeah. We'll get to that shortly with a different animal back in West Africa. And one that comes over again, like the rabbit, is the spider trickster,
mm-hmm.
Anansi.
Yeah.
Love Anansi. You find him in, like, a few different cultures, but predominantly Akan and Ashanti around Ghana. Referring to peoples, like, more than countries, because the borders and countries have changed so very much.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to, like, specify a country.
Yeah, I meant to mention that earlier yeah. with respect to African mythology and folklore. Like, mm-hmm. in Europe, if you say German, there's a wide range of German folklore from different regions mm-hmm. that you probably should differentiate between. But if you say German, it's not wrong necessarily. Mm. Whereas in African folklore, if you refer to something as from Ghana, it's vaguely true. Mm-hmm. But it's really more because the borders of Africa have been...
Yeah.
So have been what they have been. That, like, it's just not the most accurate way to talk about that pantheon of stories mm-hmm. by country. Like, you really do have to talk about it by people.
Yeah.
You can say, like, it's vaguely around Ghana, mm-hmm. and that's probably the most geographical you can get about it. But yeah. the stories, more so than lots of other places mm-hmm. in Africa, the stories belong to a people, not a place.
Yeah. Anansi also shows up in, like, the Caribbean, in Haiti, in the mm-hmm. West Indies.
Gee, I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about Anansi is, in a lot of his stories, he triumphs over an oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like...
Gee, I wonder why.
Turns his perceived weaknesses into strengths.
Gee, I wonder why.
So, yeah, you can see why he would have been popular, mm-hmm. and, like, his stories would have been kept going and passed around.
Yeah.
In these new places. I want to just mention, you brought up Loki before.
Mm-hmm.
So as we know, he is the Norse trickster.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing on his Wikipedia page that talks about one of the possible etymologies of his name could be linking to spiders and webs.
Yes.
The word Loki is a term for makers of cobwebs. It's not prominent in the oldest sources that are around, but it kind of can mean, like, tangler.
Mm-hmm.
There could be that spider connection there with Loki. He made nets, so, like, that's the mm-hmm. same kind of tangler thing. And then Sleipnir, the horse baby that he has,
mm-hmm.
Has eight legs. I'm just saying, maybe that's
nothing, maybe it's something.
Like, because it's never really explained why Sleipnir has eight legs.
It's just like that sometimes.
So, you know, there is a possibility that Loki has that spider thing going for him. And then, no roadrunners, but repping for the bird community, we have Raven and or Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Raven is very common in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Much more common farther north, so like the Pacific Northwest and the Arctic. And going back to what you were saying about, like, cultural connections and, like, communication between different cultures, you get Ktuk in Far East Asia, like, Far East Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he has, like, a lot of similarities with Raven in that sort of Pacific Northwest mm-hmm. area. He has, like, the creator role as well as the trickster role. So, yeah, there's suggestion for cultural contact there,
mm-hmm.
Which is really cool.
I always love to see it.
Yes. And Aboriginal, again, you have Crow is the trickster
mm-hmm.
in Aboriginal folklore. There's a fun story where he gives the swamp hawk its talons. There's a trick he was playing. He put some echidna quills in a kangaroo rat's nest. And,
like you do.
Convinced the hawk that he should pounce on this nest and get himself a treat of a kangaroo rat. And the hawk does. Quills get stuck in his feet. But then he's not mad about it because it ends up, it makes him a more effective hunter. He basically gave it its talons.
Mm-hmm.
Just
delightful.
By sticking some echidna quills in his feet.
Yeah, that's how science works.
The other story that I found about Crow is him stealing fire, which is a fun story. There are these women who, they're like seven sisters, and they map to the Aboriginal equivalent of the Pleiades
uh-huh.
and like in their astrology, and they have these little sticks, like little dowsing sticks for digging up yams that have like hot coals on them
mm-hmm.
And the crow finds one of these cooked yams and it's like, that's fucking great, I want cooked food all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get one of these things? So he goes and he makes them really mad and steals, is able to, like, they throw stuff at him and he's able to steal one of the hot coals. Or does he get all of them? Anyway, he gets these hot coals and, like, is keeping them up in his tree. And then the other animals are like, hey, I would quite like some cooked meat. Like, that sounds good. Can I have that? No, I don't want to share. And then he ends up getting mad and, like, throws the coals at them, but it starts a bushfire.
Oh, dear.
And that's what turns the crow's feathers black mm-hmm. in that story. But yes, So that leads into the next thing that tricksters have going for them, which is they're all criminals. They're little thieves. Tricksters are thieves of either knowledge or physical goods, generally. Hermes is the patron of thieves and of travelers. So fun little catch 22 there. If you get mugged on the road after you've prayed to Hermes to give you a safe journey, tough shit. I guess you like the thief's prayer better that day. You know, you got to be fast. Reynard the Fox is what Disney's Robin Hood character design is based off.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, Robin Hood is a folkloric thief. So there's a reason that he's a fox.
Yes.
It's Reynard is why Disney's Robin Hood is a fox. And the Sheriff of Nottingham is a wolf. But yeah, it's, you know, famous thief. You make him a fox.
It just makes sense.
Yeah, which is why I really don't like the sort of tricksy fox in Zootropolis or Zootopia, whatever name you're using for it, ends up becoming a cop. Like, fuck that.
No.
Like, you're telling me the rabbit and the fox in this story are police? No, I'm not having that. No. Yeah, so one of the things that they most often steal is fire. You know, anyone who knows me knows that I love fire. So again, another check in the box for trickster. Yeah, so there's the crow story that I told. There are stories of both Raven and Coyote in different stories across different North American tribes about stealing the fire. Also stealing the sun and the moon and the stars. K'tuk in the Far East Russia. Sometimes the story is that, like, he had the sun in his beak and was trying to keep it for himself, and someone else made him drop it, and that's how we got the sun. Other stories are, like, he chipped away at a rock that someone else was trying to conceal it in to release it for everybody. You get the same kind of variation in the stories in North America, where some of it's altruistic, where he's giving it to the people, like robbing from the rich to give to the poor. And then in other versions, it's just selfish, like, he wanted it himself but ended up, you know, sharing it with everybody. You get Prometheus is the person that steals fire in Greek mythology. He gets classed as a sort of folk hero type trickster sometimes, rather than the god, which is Hermes. Another human or demigod type folk hero figure is Maui in Polynesian mythology, and some versions of that. He steals fire for humans. And then you get my favorite little guy that I learned about in doing this outline, Oliphant in Micronesia. Now, he is fucking fun.
Polynesia and Micronesia, like, the mythology there is so funny all the time. Like, just the best stories.
Look up Oliphant because he's so much fun. He's great. He's like a demigod. His dad is the son of the main head of the pantheon, and his mum is like the daughter of the octopus goddess.
You've already told me a bit about this, and I hope you don't cut all of it, because boy. Boy, that's fun.
Yeah, well, like, his dad has, like, his eye on this mortal woman, and his wife is like, no, and tries to, like, stop him getting involved, and the octopus goddess, whose daughter he had his eye on, is like, fuck no, my daughter's gonna get some. And she does, like, she has, like, a really sexy dance that she does. And, like, it just sends all the women into conniptions. And they have to be taken up to the heavens to get revived. So, like, her daughter goes up to the heavens to get revived and gets digged down by this god.
Good for her.
Oliphant is born of this union. And the main god is like, okay, but you can't let him drink out of a coconut with a small hole. and then one day he does. And the reason he was told he couldn't do this was because with it having such a small hole, he has to tip it really far back to get the last of the milk out of it, and is able to see up to the heavens and see his dad and realize where his origins.
I love really specific things you're not allowed to do in folklore. Because you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, as long as she never touches flax ever in her life, she'll be fine.
Just don't let him drink out of a coconut with a really small hole.
Yeah, just make sure the holes in all the coconuts he drinks out of are, like, pretty decent sized.
Okay, sure, I can police that. But yeah, so he has, like, human brothers and sisters that he doesn't get on with and plays tricks on all the time. And then he gets sent up to the heavens to try and straighten him out. But then, of course, just ends up playing tricks on all of the gods and annoying the hell out of them. They keep trying to kill him a bunch of times. There's a story where, like, he hides in a hole and, like, they try and kill him. And he just, like, sends out a bunch of, like, leaves and, like, stuff to look like viscera so that they think that they've successfully killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have just left it at that. You know, gone back down to Earth or whatever and stopped them keep trying to kill him because they thought they'd succeeded. But no, he had to have another joke, so he goes back to the hall and pretends to be a ghost. And he's like, ooh, to frighten them all. But somebody catches on to him and realizes that all I've had is you again. I just love him.
I love his energy.
He's so funny.
He brings a silly goose energy to the timeline.
Yes.
But like, I really appreciate
it. Like, my guy, you'd gotten away with it. Like, they thought you were dead. You could have just carried on, but no, you had to get that one more
joke.
Had
to be a little bit extra.
Had to get that extra joke in.
Mm-hmm.
There is a trickster in Basque mythology called San Martin Tiki,
mm-hmm.
Which is spelled T-X-I-K-I, but it is pronounced like cheeky.
Oh, cute. I like that.
Yeah. He's just a cheeky guy.
He's just a cheeky guy.
San Martin Cheeky. He stole agricultural secrets from the Basawanach, who are the, okay. the lords of the woods. There is a god in Slavic mythology called Veles, who's very cool. He's like a pastoral god, like a shepherd thing, so that's something he has in common with Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
He also has some overlap with Loki. He, in one story, steals the thunder god's cattle. Another story, it's his wife. But, you know.
One or the other.
One or the other. Those are comparable, right? So storms are said to be his fault because he pissed off the thunder god.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, fucking Veles, another storm. Had to go and steal those cows.
Stop stealing them cows!
which, you know, there's the overlap with Hermes.
Uh-huh. stealing Apollo's cattle.
Yeah. When he was a baby, like, fucking great, man.
When he was amoral.
When he was amoral.
I mean, he's always amoral, but when he was a baby, like all babies, he was amoral.
Yeah. So the next little area that we find tricksters have in common, they're very often shapeshifters.
Mm-hmm.
And this fits in with their boundary crossing, like liminal space thing. They're like, what's the gender?
Mm-hmm.
It's that Tumblr post of my gender fits the bit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, a man's got to do what a man's got to do, but God forbid women do anything.
Yeah.
Like,
that post has strong Loki energy, I feel.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Loki is very famously shapeshifter, gender fluid. Gender is whatever's funniest at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Raven and Coyote are both shapeshifters. They're also two-spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So again, gender boundaries being crossed. What is gender? Bugs Bunny. And mm-hmm. the other famous rabbit trickster in American yeah. culture dresses up like a sexy lady bunny all the time.
Yeah, because he's a trickster and tricksters have no gender, so yeah. he can do what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Veles has a wolf form. Mm-hmm. There are some stories of Maui where he can shapeshift.
Mm-hmm.
There is the Monkey King in China, who I don't have time to talk about, really, but just he shapeshifts. You get the raccoon is the other kind of trickster figure that shows up in places in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his little mask, obviously, which...
like, which denotes him as a criminal.
Yeah, as a criminal, but he's also, like, in disguise. It represents transformation. The tanuki in Japan,
mm-hmm.
similar to... There's a raccoon dog, a completely mm-hmm. different species, but, you know, the tanuki also have that shapeshifter thing and are tricksters.
That's why you don't trust Tom Nook.
No.
Because he's a tanuki.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever capitalist venture he's got going on, please know you are the butt of the joke. I don't trust that man.
Actually, is Tom Nook the chaotic evil trickster?
Yes, Tom Nook is the only chaotic evil trickster.
Mm-hmm.
We've solved it.
There you go.
There you go.
The other shapeshifter you get in Japan is the kitsune I mentioned before. They usually take the form of beautiful women
mm-hmm.
to seduce or otherwise trick people.
Mm-hmm.
They occasionally will take the form of like a young man or an old man, but more often than not, they're beautiful women.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, gender.
It's whatever best fits the bit.
Exactly. So when it's funniest to be a guy, then they're mm-hmm. going to be a guy. And mm-hmm. if it's funnier to be a lady, then they're going to be a lady. And it's just whatever, man.
Mm-hmm. So the next item on the trickster resume
mm-hmm.
is acting as a messenger.
Which, alarms me a little bit. You want the post to be more trustworthy.
But honestly, like, so Hermes obviously acts as messenger. And the funniest thing in the world to me was, like, they've rebranded now, but the courier service naming themselves Hermes. Every single time you get a delivery from Hermes, it's so chaotic and different in a chaotic way each time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that energy. I know why you've named your courier service after Hermes, because it's a delivery service and, you know, messenger. I get it. But you do realize he's a trickster, right? Like, invoking Hermes just, like, seems to just filter down into the way that their delivery drivers operate.
Yeah.
And it's delightful. Kitsune are also messengers of Inari Okami in a lot of stories. Inari Okami is the kami of foxes. Anansi becomes the messenger of Nyame, the sky god, in those stories through trickery. Coyote and Raven also have messenger roles in various stories.
Mm-hmm.
Too many to go into, but they do.
It also makes me think of Hugin and Munin.
Yeah.
Because they bring messages to Odin.
Yeah.
And they are ravens. Yes. I should probably mention that they are ravens.
Yes, Odin's ravens are messengers.
They're not tricksters. No, they're not. But it's just interesting to me that they picked up that trickster aspect.
Mm-hmm. Do they also have the psychopomp thing? I don't think they do.
No, they don't.
But yeah, that's another thing with ravens, is that they are psychopomps. This is another example of them crossing boundaries, literally, between life and death, existing in those liminal spaces. There's an argument to be made that, like, a lot of these animals, like the coyote, the raven, the jackal, they're all scavenger animals. They all eat carrion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get life from death
mm-hmm.
in that way. So maybe that's kind of where that association with these specific animals comes from.
Mm-hmm.
There is Huehuecuhtl, who is an Aztec coyote trickster.
Mm-hmm.
He's friends with Xolotl.
Yes.
Who's like the dog-headed psychopomp.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a psychopomp himself, but he's just best friends with this other funny doggy.
Mm-hmm.
And in back in Syncretism Town, in Ptolemaic Egypt, you get Hermanubis, the syncretism of Hermes and Anubis, who again is a dog-headed psychopomp.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Huehuecuhtl is old coyote.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. He's old coyote.
Too old coyote.
Yeah. He's, like, associated with music and dancing and fertility and kind of Dionysian in a sense.
Yeah. A lot of the things we've mentioned have been very Dionysian.
Yeah. I think that, like, the two gods that I am, like, the main devotee of as a Hellenic polytheist are Dionysus and Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
and we're being honest with ourselves, and we're just going to do a full episode on Dionysus because we can't. You know us. We can't. So, but yeah, like the shape shifting, the association with death.
Yeah.
The what's a gender?
Yeah. But yes, he is not a trickster.
No.
But there is some fun overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Hermes and Veles as that kind of shepherd role. Like, as a pastoral god, they shepherd souls into the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
There are some trickster myths where the trickster is responsible for bringing death into the world.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there's Maui stories in Maori mythology where his baptism goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
His dad baptizes him incorrectly, and as a punishment, Maui is doomed to die along with all humans, which is
bummer.
A little bit of an extreme reaction, I'd say, but you know,
it do be that way sometimes.
Nancy, there is a story where he steals some food from death in, like, the village of death.
Mm-hmm.
And when death confronts him, instead of owning up to it, he runs away. And so death follows him into the world.
Got it, yeah. That's like, cool.
Whoops! What are you doing in my house? Bye!
Candy camouflage! Run, 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 run. Is Greg a trickster?
possibly. I think he's under the protection of a trickster, if nothing else.
Yeah. I was just thinking about, like, his journey to Cloud City feels very much like a trickster story.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. From the Bura people in Nigeria, you have Agadzagadza, who is a lizard trickster, which is unusual.
Great name. Also, love that it's a lizard.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, in that story, humans send a worm to the sky god to...
A worm?
Mm-hmm. So basically one of the people among them died, like the first one of them dies, and so they send a worm up to the sky god to ask what to do with this corpse. Like you do.
Yeah.
And so the god tells the worm that they should hang the body in the fork of a tree and throw some mush at it, and then he'll come back to life.
Now I have some questions.
So Agadzagadza overhears this conversation. And being a lot speedier than a worm, rushes back to the humans and tells them that he's been sent back because he's faster. And what they should do is wrap the body in cloth and bury it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this. And then the worm eventually gets back and is like, oh, for fuck's sake. You couldn't wait for me to get back? Like, you sent me. Why are you listening to this guy? And they're like, oh, well, it would be just too much effort to dig him up now and follow your instructions. So we'll just leave him. And that's why we have death, because they followed Agadzagadza's instructions instead of the worms.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you have like a date on this story? Like, I know it's probably just, you know, older than anything, but... I'm just curious because I don't know that burial itself is terribly popular in Africa. Or, like, I mean, it is more now, but...
Yeah. Well, I find it interesting that it's the specifying the wrapping in cloth thing, which, it's, you know, mummification has the same, like, wrap thing to preserve, in a way.
And, like, my knowledge of African death rituals and stuff is not comprehensive at all. It's just everything that I have read and listened to about it. It says more that cremation was more the thing that was done, or air mummification, the way that they do in Mexico as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious to see where this burial thing came in. But it's also very probable that the people who told this story have just always done that, and I don't know. Just curious.
I can't find dates on it.
Completely fine. Sometimes you don't have dates on it.
Yeah. In this one, like, the lizard has a trickster role. You get... There are other, like, African stories with kind of reptiles and things that aren't so much being tricksters, but they kind of have that mythological role of explaining kind of natural phenomena.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories with, like, frogs, snakes, lizards in that vein. So, but this one just happens to be... death and in the form of trickery. So it's
very cool.
I realize this has been very long, but I figured the best place to put spirit conjuring was after talking about psychopomps.
Yeah.
So
listen, it's our podcast. We can structure it however the hell we want.
Mm-hmm.
No one can stop us.
Yeah.
So the thing about a trickster cocktail, I need you to understand, like, it's just Everclear and Red Bull. Like, that's the trickster cocktail.
Everclear?
It's, like, really high-proof vodka, I think. Oh, man, it's not even vodka. Everclear should be viewed as an unfinished ingredient. It's just grain alcohol.
Good
people,
Lord.
I can unfortunately report firsthand. I have never consumed Everclear because I know when the devil is coming to me. But can report from late 2000s university culture, Everclear and Red Bull. That's the tricksters coming to you. And people did consume it. And possibly still do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're going to come up with a real cocktail. I just want you to know that the real trickster cocktail is just Red Bull and Everclear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to suggest Red Bull.
I mean, I feel like we have to have Red Bull in there, both for the cattle connection.
Yeah.
And just because it just has trickster energy. I don't really know how to explain it.
Specifically Hermes energy to me, because of the, like, Red Bull gives you wings thing, and it makes you go fast. So it's very Hermes to me.
It is very Hermes.
If we're making a specifically Hermes thing, then it would be like strawberry vodka.
Yeah.
That you would mix with it, because strawberries are his sacred plant.
And that would probably be disgusting, but the trickster cocktail is not about taste.
No. It's about getting fucked up.
Yeah.
It's fucking around and finding out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that could be it. Like, it's not something that I want to drink.
I was kind of joking, but that works.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drink the trickster cocktail. This episode's cocktail is not to be consumed by anyone, regardless of legal drinking age.
So yeah, I think we will say that it is strawberry vodka
and Red Bull. If you want to see the face of Hermes.
Just, get a quad vod.
Oh, God.
And Red Bull. Yeah.
But I cannot stress this enough. Do not do that. Do not consume this beverage. Thank you.
I mean, you could.
Don't. That's the devil talking.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's Hermes talking.
Yeah. I came up with a name for the cocktail before we decided it. And it's going to be Hair of the Parentheses Funny Dog.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's hair, H-A-R-E, because yes. Hairs.
Mm-hmm. If you drink this one specifically, you're probably going to be fucked up enough that you need hair of the dog the next morning.
Again, don't drink this. I can't be more clear.
More ever clear?
No, not even once.
So yes, Hair of the Parentheses Funny Dog is Red Bull and strawberry vodka.
Don't drink it. Moving on.
Nicely segueing again out of the spirit conjuring, the other thing tricksters do is invent things and create things. So I mentioned briefly that, like, you do get a creator role with Coyote, Raven, Nanabozo, the rabbit hair figure in North America's. They either create or name parts of the world. As I mentioned, like, Coyote gets used as a stand-in for the true creator, because it's like that taboo to talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
So Coyote in that way kind of becomes a messenger figure, to pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
Hermes invents lying.
Uh-huh.
And liars.
Mm-hmm. L-Y-R-E.
Mm-hmm.
But also L-I-A-R.
Yes. Yes. He invents liars and liars.
The liar was part of the Apollo's cattle story, wasn't it?
Yeah, he steals the cattle. He's hanging out as a baby in a cave. Mm-hmm. He makes a liar out of a tortoise shell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zeus is like, okay, Apollo, if he gives you this musical instrument that he's made, will you not hold a grudge? Like, will you just let it go? It's very impressive, you must admit, that a baby stole these cows. Like, let's just let it go. So yeah, Hermes gives the lyre to Apollo as recompense for stealing his cows.
It just reminded me of Emperor's New Groove when, like, the little shoulder devil is like, point number three, I can do this.
No,
he's got a point.
Yeah.
like, well, that's very impressive. I guess you can keep those cattle, and I'll take this lyre.
Mm-hmm. Veles, again with the overlap with Hermes, he is the patron of traveling musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So Hermes has that musical connection there. And there are some North Croatian wedding ceremonies. I don't know if this is still a thing that's done, but historically, the musicians at some weddings wouldn't play until the groom had toasted Veles.
That's cool. I like that.
It's like, we have traveled here to play music for you. You are going to toast Veles.
Mm-hmm.
San Martin Chiki.
He
invented saws. He was inspired by the shape of chestnut leaves, like the teeth on the chestnut leaf.
Valid.
Invented saws.
Mm-hmm.
Oliphant, that guy again.
That guy!
He invented tattoos.
Very cool. Thanks, man.
He gave the scorpion its sting, and he gave the shark its teeth. That story, it was because he was jealous of one of his brothers, and so he put sharp teeth in the shark's mouth so that the shark would bite his brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've known siblings like that.
Mm-hmm. You do get Tuk as well. Gets the stories where, like, he's in the creator role, but, like, goes overboard. So, like, a really difficult to traverse mountain range. It's like, oh, when I put too many fucking mountains here, it's like rainstorms and things like that. It's like, why did you invent that? Like, who's that helping? Like, this is ridiculous.
And so is he their Crowley?
Kind of, yeah. It's just like these little things that are like, oh, it's natural, but it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, they often get credited to tricksters, but they do also do useful things, mm-hmm. like the saw and the tattoos. And a lot of them are credited with creating fishing or fishing nets. Mm-hmm. So, like, Maui has a fish hook, which he uses, and, like, he pulls up all the islands from the sea with that.
Mm-hmm.
Loki invents fish nets, probably the stockings as well, knowing Loki.
Yeah.
Nanabozo invents fishing. I think Oliver is fishing. Katuk invents fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Nanabozo also invents hieroglyphs, writing.
Cool.
Yeah. Which kind of leads into the final thing that you'll be glad to hear of tricksters is storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So being liars, they're very gifted at weaving a narrative, and there's that, like, weaving, kind of spinning a web, spinning a yarn,
mm-hmm.
creating a net, you know, to trap you in, kind of vibe. And Anansi specifically is the owner of stories.
Yes.
Like, there is a story about him where he is able to buy all of the stories from the sky god by overcoming all of these labors with cunning and trickery.
Mm-hmm.
The sky god sets, like, these seemingly impossible Herculean labors, if you will.
Right.
But Nancy just basically goes around and uses his guile talking
mm-hmm.
to convince these people to, like, come with him, and, like, throws in his own mother as an additional, like, things. Like, you asked me to get all of these people, I'm also going to throw in my own mother. And, yeah, he does that, and Nyami's like, well, fuck, I guess you met my challenge and exceeded it. Hi, Anansi's mom. And so he is the owner of all of the stories, to the point where folk tales in that part of Africa are called Anansisem, which just translates to spider tales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We love a storyteller within the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, when... mine are never after spoilers. By the time this airs, who knows where we will be in the story, but when Pib meets with the fox and the hare, and a fox and the rabbit, and they give him the spider web ring...
Yeah, we were just like, Anansi?
When like, they give him this little spider web ring, and then when you find out when you were told what it does, which is that it points to any spider,
uh-huh.
like, with it you can find any spider, and then they were like, why would I want to find a spider? It was like...
We know!
It was like, Anansi? And this is, like, this whole campaign is about stories, so it was like, you've given the trickster character a ring that can find any spider in a story about stories. Is Anansi coming?
Is Anansi coming? Is he here?
Please, Brennan, give us Anansi.
We got another trickster for you to find, Pib.
Yeah. Huiwe Kiotil is the old trickster, is also a storyteller, as well as the dance mischief Dionysian thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is a storyteller. A lot of them are. But mm-hmm. yeah, I just love them.
Mm-hmm.
They're
a lot of fun.
They are. They're such cool guys. Like, they have all of these different facets that they inhabit, but, you know, yes, I realize this has just mostly been me rabbiting on it.
jokes. I was happy to let you take the trickster episode because this is your area of expertise, so
yeah, you just made the Google Doc and it just said, this one's all you, babe. And I was like, okay. Good to work.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you guys have had fun hearing about my favorite little funny guys.
I hope you don't drink that cocktail.
If you do, let us know.
No, don't. I don't want to know. I don't want that sitting on my psyche.
Let us know if you meet Hermes when you drink that.
Anyway, that's all from us this week. You can find all the links to support the podcast and keep in touch at bio.link/etherandicor.
We'll be back in 2 weeks talking about chthonic deities. For now, we'll lift a glass and say goodnight.
Pleasant dreams.